Okay, so let's start up. We have, I want to wrap up our discussion of Tsitumta today. We closed last time with, I was trying to make the case, especially within this Chuvasa Rush, that Tsitumta is not a local infusion of Gemira's Das, but rather, and I think Zacharia gave voice to this in the WhatsApp. The way to think of it is that even if there's some fundamental problem for Dvar Shelo Bal Yolam and Dvar She'eino Bar Shuso, as the Rush said, it's something that's a nitfas bikinyan. Still, Tsitumta is going to work because the mechanism of Tsitumta is minhag. It's just the brute fact that it's the commercial custom that explains why the transaction's valid. Not the local infusion of Gemira's Das to surmount like a local halachic problem. So I think that's like a nice way of thinking about the conceptual basis of Tsitumta, that it's the halacha incorporating minhag, not the minhag changing the facts on the ground about how much Gemira's Das there is. And that was in contrast to the way Rabbi Chanan wanted to read this Dvar Shelo Bal Yolam Tsitumta discussion in his Siman Reish Ayin Vav. I think there's further support for this reading, for my view, in this Tshuva the Marshal in Siman Lamed Vav. The Marshal here is discussing Tshuva. It's a Tshuva about buying an exclusive right from the municipality to sell like a certain kind of wine. So I think Cole kept calling it. It's like was it a concession?
I think it's called a concession. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the technical term is. Probably Mitnick knows because he's studying for the bar. Maybe it doesn't come up, but it's some sort of license, right? You could think of it like a taxi medallion, or a liquor license, which not only gives you a right to sell, but also an exclusive right to sell in this neighborhood and whatever Polish town it was in the time of the Marshal. So the Marshal says that. There's a question whether this purchase of the license was valid, whether it's halachically binding. He says, well, it's suspicious for two reasons. It's suspect for two reasons. He says, mitrei tami, because it's a davar she'ein bo mamish. It's just a reshus, right? It's a permission, not an actual tangible good that's being sold. And also, he says it's a davar shelo bal yolam. So he thinks there are like two reasons why we should be suspicious about it. He throws in also a reis of davar she'eino b'rishusam. So there's a lot of problems. There are a lot of halachic reasons why this transaction should be no good. It's davar she'eino b'mamish, a davar she'eino b'rishuso, and it's a davar shelo b'li'olam. And then the Marshal, so he analyzes this from the halacha's point of view. In principle, it shouldn't be good. But then he turns to Tsitumta, and he cites the Rishonim we saw, and he says, "Sheikar kinyanim bein bischora, hakol lefi haminog." So I think that phrase is very important. That when it comes to transactions, we just care about minhag. Kal v'chomer minhag v'das hamelach. All the more so if something is both commercial practice and a legal rule, right? It's the Das HaMelech. It's the prescribed rule by the monarch, by the government. So this is really interesting because he thinks that the fact that something is also a Das HaMelech gives additional force to the minhag, especially for it rising to the level of a Tsitumta. So I think this is consistent with what we saw in Rav Moshe in the rent control tshuva, where Moshe said, we're going to apply Minhag HaSochrim to something that's the law. In the Marshal here, you get this idea that Tsitumta applies to Minhagim, HaKol Lefi HaMinhag, Kal V'chomer Minhag V'Das HaMelech. So it's not like a problem that it's also the law. If anything, it's a virtue that something is the law in addition to it being the practice. V'gdola Mizu, and I think this line is also really important. He's trying to pump up the legal force of minhag, v'gdola mizu kasav haMordechai, sorry, b'perek haMekabel v'orzeruah perek haPoalim, Hatoen Tmuras Haminag Afila Bemigo Ena Mehemin. Alma Deminhag Ikar Leinyan Maso Matan. So he points to the procedural idea, or to the burden of proof idea, that you're not Neman with Amigo to be towing Neged Haminag, that Minag just has this controlling force. You see, to my mind, this analysis shows that the Marshal's not thinking in terms of a little extra Gemira's Das here and there, a little extra Das Machne. He's pointing to like the different incidents of Minhag's power. The case in point being the fact that you're not Neman to be towing Neged HaMinhag with Amigu. Alma de Minhag Iker Lenin Maso Matan. Right? It's not a narrow issue of Gemira's Das infusions. It's a broad issue of Minhag being Iker. If you purchase this license from the government, even before it's going to go into effect, so I think this is like a really nice formulation of the Marshal that leans, in, at least in its formulations, in the direction that I was suggesting Las Chabura. Anybody have thoughts just on the interpretation of the Marshal, Yakir?
Yeah, I think that not contradicting what you're saying, but maybe going in a slightly different direction. There's a line earlier that we skipped. Scroll up. Yeah. Stop. In this short paragraph of Mazzino. So, I mean, he's talking about Dina de Malchusa here, but he doesn't seem to distinguish between how that works and how Minhag works. And he has this, he feels this need to, however Dina de Malchusa works, it has to be shoehorned into some halachically valid mode of kinyan. He has to be chashav kamosha kana gufa ir lo sashaltanas.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, by the way, that's a really interesting idea. This, I think, he's quoting from earlier poskim, right? He's od matzina bepiske hagonim. So here, Jews had to buy like a right to live in certain parts of town. That's what he means. Ashal yukonim cheskas yishuvim min hasar. Lahasnos ima shalo yavo shivadim yoser ladur sham. So they had these quotas of how many Jews could like live in the, you know, the Jewish quarter, and you couldn't get in unless you had this license. And so the question is whether one Jew could sell his right to live there to another Jew. And the discussion in the postgame is whether that's a davar she'en bo mamish, right? A right is a right to live there, the kinds of things that can be sold. And the way they get around that, I think, is by viewing it as an actual property right. They want to say, so it's chashiv kemoshe kana gufa ir la'oso hashiltonos. So they want to change it from just like the right to live there to like an actual tangible right in the real property of the town. Right? Vahave kemoshe kana bias lidira. That's the move that they're making over there. They're trying to change the intangible right to live there with like as being a real property right. People talk this way today, like in political philosophy, like, does a government own its territory, or they just have like rights to the territory? It's kind of it's really a thorny question. And I think what the Marshal is pointing to here is the fact that some poskim are willing to translate zechuyos to live in an area with a kinyan in like the guf ha'ir, like having a property right in that location of the town.
I just don't understand what
Wait, 1 second, Cole, before we get to Yakir, did you want to make, do you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I mean, that's, that sort of, the need to make that sort of move seems to stem from some limitation in the power of Minhag, right?
Maybe, yes, yes.
Yeah.
But I would just say that that's not the Marshal himself. He's quoting,
right.
Correct. He's quoting these Piskei Gonim And then I think he turns into his own analysis a little after that. So I agree that that part might be intention. Here he feels the need to translate it into like these new terms of a Devar She'yesh Bo Mamish. But his own analysis, I don't think, turns on that at all. His own analysis parts ways and says we could run with the idea of Situmta. Yeah. But that discussion of like the Zechuyos in the town, I think those are really interesting discussions. But the Marshal is basically saying like that method of those Gaonim is not necessary. Like Situmta is the better way to go in solving it. Yeah, good. Good point. Zecharia and Evan.
I totally agree with the analysis. I think like points to the towing and that the minhag has extra power. What I thought was interesting, actually, kind of in the half paragraph before that, where he kind of tries to like collect the evidence, but like a this and only, like if and only if kind of proof. Like, well, the chumim, they battle some kinyonim that normally should work, and they validate some kinyonim which really shouldn't work. So therefore, it kind of sounds like there really isn't any like din Torah. Maybe that's the default. But really, the entire system that we're handling here is just based off the minhag. It sounds like an interesting, like just logical maneuver, where he has.
You're saying he's softening us up to the role of minhag.
Yeah, and the Matzino was the first one, the fourth to the last line there. Matzino Gam came Divrei Chachamim Shishinu Hayadua. As in, you might think Kinyanim, those are the Yadua thing. Well, the Chachamim just seem to change it without batting an eye, and they also change it by Situmta. Therefore, actually, you know, the only thing we conclude that minhag is the driving force of everything. I thought it was actually kind of different than the Ramosha. Ramosha kind of felt the need to bring everything back within Din Torah. So, all right, this is Din Torah, and you're just building Tanayim on top of it. Here, he kind of seems to be rejecting that there is, like, any kind of special yichus to the Do'oraisa Din Torah.
Totally, yeah. I agree 1,000% on that diuk, that difference between Ramosha and the Marshal. When I said Hashvel Egros Moshe, I just meant that in terms of the point earlier, the Kal V'Chomer to Minhag Vidas HaMelech, allowing like the top-down legislation to reinforce the force of Minhag, to reinforce the power of Minhag. But I totally agree with you. Moshe is like Kol Tanai Shebe Mamon Kayim framework, and here the framework is much more in just Minhag on its own terms. Yeah, really good point. Cole?
I'm not so impressed with this Marshal for a number of reasons. Some of them I went through on the WhatsApp. I don't quite see what the issue is with the particulars of the case, but never mind that. My principal problem is, which I think I mentioned in the last Chabura, and it's why I'm sympathetic to just the last line of Rav Elchanan's formulation of the less liberal position, is that the Gemara says nothing about Situmta or Minug having the power to transfer goods or transfer rights and obligations that were previously untransferable. All it says is that in certain cases the method of transfer can be locally determined.
Like a Rabbi Yechiel Paris guy.
Remind me.
He says that. He says exactly that. That all, you know, add to the set of kinyanim. It can't add to the set of things that can be transferred.
It's a huge further step. And I mean, the appeal to, so sovereigns have, I mean, the idea of Hefker Bezin Hefker is...
My father would say it's much more ambitious.
What?
You know, kind of the Situmta take all approach, right?
Yeah, it's ambitious. It doesn't make it... I'm against ambition. You know, Macbeth has, you know, warns against ambition. I don't like ambition.
Well, you need to spend more time in my father's shear.
You know, one man's ambition is another man's theoretical recklessness. I'm not saying anything about, you know, anything particular, but
I think my father would say chas v'shalom to that.
I've never found your father's ambition to be any kind of theoretical recklessness. Yours, on the other hand. anyway, but this is just a further inference that, you know, you can enlarge the spectrum of things that are eligible. Like, why should that be? Can somebody give me a theory for why that should be? I just want to say before we get to that, the command of the sovereign, you know, move makes a lot of sense. Like, the idea that sovereigns have control over the property under their jurisdiction is, and can just say, like, you know, you do X, you do Y, you do X, that makes a lot of sense to me. Not that I don't think, like, sovereigns can't do illegal things, but I can see why the halakha would say, you know, what the sovereign says goes, or something like that. What I don't understand is how, that I get. What I don't understand is how between, like, private actors in the case where there was a practice to do things that was otherwise, you know, like to engage in a practice of transferring goods that were otherwise untransferable would, by virtue of the commonality of the practice, be okay. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Why does it make no sense? Why aren't you why can't the halacha yield or just incorporate this normative force of minug when it comes to commerce?
Isn't the burden of proof on your side tomorrow of, like, I think that's, okay, what I've been pushing back about.
Make leaps and bounds here. Whatever, I'm happy to have this as if it were an equal fight. The reason why it seems as though Minog couldn't do the thing that the Maharshal wants it to do is that it seems as though for certain things the halakha just takes the power of alteration, like, out of bounds of, like, individual people. You know, in the same way that you can't minug away, like, an isser. Just because, like, it's simply the, it's not a power that exists.
All right, does anybody want to respond to Cole on this? I mean, I feel like I don't want to have to keep defending my view.
Minug? The last mission of Kama that the Rosh quotes, right? So if you give your stuff to a launderer, and so they get little pieces of it off, right? So in theory, you'd say, hey, that belongs to me. It's mine. When did I transfer it? When did I can't be mohel on something that's mine. It's mine already. And yet the Gemara says, because the minig is not to be mocked, they can keep it. Clearly, then, it goes beyond just, like, which exact kinyan am I going to use to accomplish a permitted transfer. That is something that you can't do, right? You can't just will something to go to someone. And yet, in that Gemara, because nobody's mocked on it, it's literally transferred.
Yeah, so I think there's, like, a few ways you could go here, and I agree with, you know, Yoni's.
What Gemara is that? That could be decisive. What Gemara is that?
Well, the Rashba quoted it in his discussion of Minhag. It's it's in the Tshuva of the Rashba about when there's a Minhag of everybody not to be mocked on stuff.
Yeah, this would be more than that. That would be the relinquishment of a, so that I view that as kind of parallel actually to this Ditumta debate, because there's not a new kind of there's not a right that was otherwise untransferable that's being transferred. There's just a new way of transferring the right in virtue of some social fact, namely the lack of hakpada. So that would be okay with me. I mean, you know,
really. No affirmative act whatsoever to
put a punch. Again, if that's what the Gemara says, then that's what the Gemara says. It strikes me as odd, but it doesn't make trouble for my theory.
Well,
it just says.
It would strike you as odd if you understood that it could go beyond just, you know, making a kinyan in, like, a slightly different way.
I'm not familiar with the Gemara, but I think I see this theoretical issues at stake. In the case of the lack of the best translation of Hakpada I've ever come across is, like, in the absence of a general practice of being particular about a certain kind of property. So, you know, what you could say is, given that you already have dominion over this particular item, so we're going to give you a lot of leeway over Minhug. Can you know?
You'd pump up like the Behetera Asaliado, and it's you know
Bechazka Stachasiado. You know, you have the power of the Keras and maybe and whatever.
Uman Kona Bishvach Kli, and then you just have to buy it back when you pay for the service.
This is like Minhug creating powers.
Yeah, but I want to make a methodological point here. Like, I just don't buy the kind of conservative line that you were raised with in Bethesda, Maryland. That, you know, just like the path...
Wait, what was that about Maryland?
That there's like this presumption in favor of like things, like the path of least resistance, right? So... Like, I just don't know. Like, you see a sugya about Situmta. It's an open question what power Situmta has. And you're saying, well, Ein lechabo el chidusho, right? That's the rule of thumb.
This is how I know you don't have a leg to stand on. Because you're appealing to methodological
concerns. No, I'm just saying, you see the Marshal. The Marshal's totally happy to expand Situmta. You see that the Maram is totally happy to expand Situmta. You see that... The Chuvisa Rush is totally happy to expand Sitemta. So I just don't see, like, I mean, to me, it's like an open question the what the scope of Sitemta is. And you're saying, well, there's a presumption in favor of just.
This is why I asked on the WhatsApp, what is Sitemta? Is Sitemta just like this transfer of this coin that is basically like.
So the Metzias, like Rashi says, it's the custom of putting a seal on the wine barrels when they're transferred.
Right, that's what I thought.
It's like when you go to Walmart and they put like a sold sticker or something on your, you know, gallon of water. Others say it's like a kind of handshake. So like the Metzias is you know something. It's some custom. I wanna move on here and just briefly talk about this Tshuva the Marashdam. So the Marashdam is our friend from Saloniki in the 1600s.
Saloniki, Greece.
Yeah, it's the Yerushalayim Shel Yavan, right? That's right.
Athens and Jerusalem.
So the Marashdam here says, he's dealing with a tshuva of somebody who sold chovos, somebody sold debts in this way that's clearly invalid according to halacha. And he has a really interesting formulation here, though I think we have to lav dafka the formulation. He says, Harimuchach behedra d'chol davar shebimamon yesh lo shnei panim b'meshe yiskayim. That's one side of the disjunction, right? Either through this kind of Doraisa or Drabanan power. Or through this kind of private Tanai agreement. So I think what's just striking about the formulation here is that he seems to explicitly ground Situmta in the idea of a private agreement, right? His formulation... Kivan shenagu havale shekolach an masne im chavero, shekshiyah kach iskayim hadavar. I'm not sure if we should take him seriously that he means that a private Tanai could do all this, or he thinks that like it also has to be consistent with it being a general minhag. Not sure on that point. But his formulation definitely comes really close, or as close as you could come to just saying, Situmta works because it's a private agreement between the parties to make it work. Maybe you have to say something like Zolti was saying to deal with that Gemara that seems to say that the Ramban's point, the Torah didn't give Kinyanim over to Mochrim to decide that you could makne davar shenikne behagba b'meshicha. At the end here, you know, he cites all the classic Mekoros. Just 1 second, Adin. He cites all the classic Mekoros of Minhag V'at HaHalacha. And he says, Imkein Nizbar Lanu Mimasha Kasavnu Shima Dabar Emes Shederech HaTagarim Kiminag Pashut Be'ir and Kuna Haya Liknos Chovos Chevreim Be'ofen Hanal V'yafal Pishaloha Yumodim Lebal Chov. Kind of an interesting question. Sounds like the custom there was this, they would sell debts without telling the debtor. not sure if what how this is in the United States. Could like the bank sell my mortgage without notifying me that they sold it?
Yeah, you don't have a right to pay back the lender. It would be astonishing if in a modern economy you actually retained the right to pay back the lender that you.
Well, you may not have the right to block the transfer. You just might they might have a duty to inform you of the sale.
Well, of course. Otherwise, you're going to screw up because then you pay money to somebody who's like going to steal it. So
right.
They give you once they give you notice.
Yeah, that makes sense. And but it sounds like the Minogan that in you know Greece over here was liknos chovos chevrein beofen hanal v'yafal pi shelo hayu modiyin lebal chov.
The point is to use it as a financing tool, right? So if you give them a middleman, if a store sells the accounts to a financier, right? So then they can use that as collateral for the money. So you don't have to tell people. You make something.
Ah, it's interesting. He says, "Haye mechuyav midin ha'ir ha'hi lefroa ha'chov lekona, afal pisha kefi din torasenu ein b'maso matan b'zem mamish." Mikol makom kiman shenagu hatagarim liknos be'ofen b'zeh hakinyan kayim. Probably should be be'ofen haza. But so I think this is a really interesting formulation. He says kefi din Torah, this transfer wouldn't work. But since it's mechuyav midin ha'ir, so again here it sounds like a law rather than just a custom. He says that because it's the minhag, the kinyan is kayam. So just looking at his language, he relies on the fact that it's the minhag. He doesn't say anything about it being a local issue of gemiras das, at least not at the end of the tshuva. And the tshuva is also interesting because it sounds like this is clearly a case of something that would be non-transferable kefi din Torah. It's not just an issue of a maisa kinyan, in his view. It sounds like this is like something that in principle, this kind of like mechiras hachov, is not nikne. Afal pisha kefi din, this phrase is not so clear. Ein b'maso matan b'zem mamish. My sense is that this is a case where, like, he thinks the chov is not transferable al pidin, but maybe I'm wrong about that. What do you guys think? Meaning, is this along the lines of the marshal, or is this friendly to something that, you know, Cole would be happy with and a Bechilmi Paris that we're just adding a Maisa Kenyan? Zacharia?
Yeah, I just got the sense from
Evan.
That this was something totally out of bounds of the first of the disjunction, right? The Divrei Chachamim or the Din Torah. Like, this is something that totally relies on his second formulation of the Kol Tanai Shi Adam in Chavero Shenagu Kach. So it's like kind of setting himself up. I don't know if that's like just from the way it read or.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like, so your diak is from the beginning of the tshuva. That he sets
right, like, up. It's not to be two different things. Presumably, it's talking about the other thing.
Yeah, so that's good. So let's talk about that for a second. So Evan's read is, look at the Reisha. The Marashtam sets up this rule. Here are two ways for commerce to be valid. Either through what the Torah likes, or through anything you like. Right? Either of those is a sufficient way to transfer property, and you're saying that in the end here he's just relying on that, right? He's relying on that second part of the disjunct. The einam min hadin shkivan shenagu, and that opening formulation just gives broad powers to minhag. Is that's the point, Evan?
Yeah, and I just want to note that, like, to further create that divide, it's not like a tenai, when he says obichol tenai shi ne adam, it's not tenai shi mon kayim. It's a whole different ball game, because that's how he gets around the issue of this chov not being davar mamish or having some problems.
Yes,
it's like very different than Ramosha that we saw.
So I agree with this. This is what I meant, that we might have to lav dafka the language, and here I think I want to hear what everyone else thinks also. So I would think if the normative ground of Minhag HaSocharim is Kol Tanai Sheva Mamon, then you can't just agree to transact non-transactable chovos, right? It doesn't seem like Tanai Shebe Mamon in its normal sense wouldn't have that power. So I think you're right that we have to read Kol Tanai Shebe Mamon in this wider sense to be like the Torah is not makvid on how you do commerce if, you know, everyone's on board or something like that, right? You have wide powers when it comes to economic liberties. Or you have wide economic powers.
Doesn't that strike you as implausible for this? I mean, like, think about what you just said. So you think that it's possible that by consent alone, we could expand the range of powers that we have? I would have thought that all consent can do is exercise powers, not create new ones.
So I think the whole point is that it creates a whole new system. By buying into this new thing called Tanai or Minhag, you have a whole new thing. It's not like extending some other boundary of Din Torah. You have a new system.
One man's reductio ad absurdum is another man's anathemami.
Yeah, what do you think? I think the reading here is you know, it's kind of a difficult tshuva. I mean, what do the rest of you think about how to read this?
I think that there's, like, it's definitely a stretch and it works. I think it was along the lines we were mentioning yesterday that the more conservative approach of Rabbi Shlomi Kari is, I think you could still make it work with Ashmavka, but it's harder to make it work with, because he says, is like he meant, like, I noticed when you're highlighting in that middle section where you stop right before the word Ba'adat of the Hafitin Akhasilki, which is like we don't want to get into the Das question, which again, I think it's a forced read to say that. I think it's a possible but difficult read to say that maybe the power of Minhag is that it gives us a window to define Das, and maybe even you would want to say that you have to say that the problem with Davar Sheinu Bali Olam is the Chisaron of Das. You can't really fully accept something that doesn't exist yet. But the fact that everyone does it means that in this specific locale, you have that, like, we assume that people do full have mere thoughts on that issue. Like, again, I think that the logic of that is somewhat stretched, but I think it's still theoretically possible.
Yeah.
It's not entirely inconsistent. Again, it also raises the question of, I haven't arrived at a formulation of why Dat HaMelech should be strong. Like we saw in the previous tshuva also, like if it's all a Gemir Das question, then Minhag and Dat HaMelech should be the same. Maybe even Minhag should be stronger. But the previous tshuva says like Kal V'Chomer Dat HaMelech, which makes it sound like it's a more systematic issue than it is a individual consent of the parties issue.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a formulation of Minhag, but I haven't arrived
on
yet.
Yeah. What's bothering me in the Tshuva of the Marashtam is that he starts off with this kind of Kol Tanai Sheyas Nadam of Chavera. And, you know, that, to me, that sounds implausible. You don't get that sense that the halacha just says that you and I could have a private agreement, he makne adavar shelo bali olam, right? It wouldn't be a problem of inadam makne, what?
Why not?
I think Yoni mentioned this.
Why would the halacha say, you know, the machna devar shlo if you could just agree to be machna devar shlo bali olam? That just sounds like a very peculiar.
Itamar, it sounds like you're making arguments for my view.
Well, I think this motivates what Evan was saying, that kol tanai shayasna mimchaveru can't be in this private sense. It's got to be in the more general sense of kivan shenagukach. But Minnick looks like he's going to have a heart attack.
Defend my point. There's after he says Obecho Tanai, there's no other mention of Tanai, and definitely not like last paragraph. The last section. It all comes back to Kevan Shenagu, right? Kevan Shenagu a few times. So I think the Tanai was maybe, you know, Lav Dafka, and really it's, you know, it's more about the Noeg aspect.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I hear that though. Minnick, you wanted to weigh in here? Looks like you have something to say.
Oh, I mean, all time she asked out in Havero doesn't mean a personal time. I mean, one of the most common refrains in halakha literature, all time she mumped time, it's used to justify a lot more than just private time. And that's clearly the point here. I don't think when you say clearly means not clearly, but I think that Umitam Zeh Yoil Dagra no Shinogan has Sofrim, right? So when he moves on to the Sofrim, he has to add Sofrim because the previous thing wasn't talking about Sofrim. Even the Rashba in the Tshuva, the difference between Mamanus and Isurim, why would there be a difference? Like, if there's just this, like, sovereign or whatever, like, why would there be a difference between Mamanus and Isurim? It's not just the fact that Paul's not showing Mamanus.
So your view is that a private agreement would work? Is that your view, Minik?
I mean, there isn't a Chogos Rishonim whether if you specifically say I'm being Machni Dover Shlomo Yolim, whether it works or not. So,
and you're saying same for Dover Shlomo Mamish and same for Chovos, right? So it's just like, in all these cases, like if you have a private agreement, same for Asmachta, right?
But I agree with what they were saying, which is that if you can't, if Halacha presumes you can't sell it, then even if you would specify, it would be because, like, you can't conceive of it. But if everybody conceives of it, then, you know, that digs into, like, everybody can conceive of it, then everyone can sell it. Like, if there's a market for it, then obviously it's not something that's not understandable and people can't value correctly and perhaps would lead to, like, you know, people taking advantage of each other because, like, I don't know, it's not here, so I don't
know. So it's like a Gemara's Das issue.
I don't know if that's... I mean, you're taking a side on how to read the Machlokes between in the Gemara about why, you know, Machten Dover Shalom Alolam. In other words, the...
Wait, let's hold off on this in the Machne issue for a moment. I want to give Yakir. Yakir had his hand up. Yakir, you want to get a point in?
I was just gonna ask if we know a little bit more about this case. It's not so clear to me that he's really talking about something non-transactable. I'm wondering if there's a reading of this that we just need to fill in a hole in Mamash Lashdan. And Minhag, that's what the Minhag is doing here.
Whether about Mechiras Chovos, whether Mechiras Chovos are in principle transactable or not.
Yeah.
I hear that. Let me double check the language of the Tshuva. When I first read this, my sense was that it's not a Maisa Kinyan issue. It's like there's like a Chov is just something that's not like the abstract right. That's the assumption that the Marashtam was working under, but I'll double check the language of the Tshuva here. I want to cut Minik.
You use Chalipin, right? Otherwise you use Chalipin on it.
On a Chov?
I'm saying if it was just a Maisa Kinyan aspect, then you could use Chalipin.
Isn't it also just like, I mean, isn't it like probably also like Shtarnik Mispensira type things, or you could have like, they could have structured it in a way like a Shiva to Derek Nelson. There are like halachic ways to make this work. So they're just like, it's not stressing anyone out to like jump through those loopholes. But I don't think anyone here thinks that there's no way to make this halachically viable.
Meek or Adin?
Yeah.
I think I'll have to double check the Tshuva here and see like what the underlying assumption is.
I'm reading it now. He said there was no Kenyan. The problem is he thinks Mama Shoshan would work, but there was no Mama Shoshan.
But even Maimon Shlashdan is just Takana Drabanan, right?
So, well, I think he would argue that Maimon Shlashdan might work. It's just like there was no Maimon Shlashdan, and therefore he doesn't see how the Kinyan would work.
And so he's just filling up, oh, maybe a Maisa Kinyan, maybe Situmta could work.
The resolution to the Maisa Kinyan aspect is Tanai Shemamu and Mamu Kayam.
Yeah, well,
and then after he says that, at that point he goes to his point that you quote, which is that there are two ways of having. There are two forms of, I guess, Torah law.
So you think that supports like the narrower read? Is that your point?
I'm not sure. I'm not. I hear the arguments on both sides. I'm not sure. I think it's hard to imagine that it's the narrower read, just because it seems too narrow to really work.
Yeah.
But it definitely, the language and his description of his whole discussion of Darshan Mamma Kanao Kayam, the whole sugya there is pretty about Nero, you know, tonight. So
yeah. So I want to cover two other things. I'm going to look back at the Tshuva of the Marashtam. The first is this interesting question about Bidibor, whether Situmta could obviate a need for a Maisa Kinyan altogether, right? So I think this gets into the realm of what Cole was saying. It's a little bit in between, right? So one question is, the Rabbi Chilmi Pari's Cole view is that Situmta could constitute a Maisa Kenyan, but it can't allow us to transfer things that are not transferable al Pidin. That's one view. Then there's the Marshall and Company view that says, no, Situmta has the magical power to Davar Shalob al Yolam, to Asmachta, all those things Situmta could transfer. Here there's the question of whether Situmta could work Bidibur alone. I'm not sure whether... Cole, what are you going to say on this? Are you going to say that if Situmta could work... If Situmta works Bidibur, you think that's just adding to the set of Kinyanim? Or do you think that's closer...
It would certainly not have anything to do with what I said about not being able to, it would not enlarge the number or the range of rights that could be transferred. It would be a huge chiddush in Hilchos, you know, Maisa Kinyanim, if speech or, I mean, usually in, there are three families of Kinyanim. In the halacha, there's kinyane shlita, like literally like grabbing hold of the item in question. Then there are kinyanim that use like some object of value to transfer ownership. That's something that chalipin and money have in common. And then there's shtar, which is kind of its own special thing. So this wouldn't fall under any of them. It would be, presumably what you'd want to say if you were of the Rav Chaim view of things is that Kinyanim are just Gemiras Das, and this is maybe as good as anything, and maybe Rav Chaim wouldn't like this, but he would have common ground with the idea that it would.
So let's look at the debate here. The Pesachei Choshen in this footnote quotes the Knesset Hagedola, who's mesupik about it. You know, the classic nafgamina is the Miras Mazel Ubracha in the diamond industry. If you watch, what's that movie that came out?
Uncut Gems.
Yeah, Uncut Gems. Right, so apparently there's like...
I thought it was overrated. It was a good movie. It wasn't like as groundbreaking as... everyone said it was going to be.
Not here to pass judgment on the movie, but there's like a, I think it like opens with like a Mazel Ubracha scene of like some Hamish deal being completed through Mazel Ubracha. Actually, in one of these books I was reading, they like, if you look at like the code for like arbitration and like the diamond district rules, so like they talk about saying Mazel Ubracha as being like a, like that constitutes like sealing a deal, like by these, you know, I don't know what this code is exactly. So he says, "V'chein nogim ayom b'mischar yalom in litzgar is iskem be'amiras mazel bracha." Shuvayisi b'knesset agdola shevi machlokas aposkim m'shayach tinsi tumta b'dibur ba'alma mikom makom near daito shemoil. So he thinks that Knesset Agdola leans towards saying that dibur alone is sufficient to constitute a situmta. So you don't need a ma'isa kinyan altogether. If the minig is to do it b'dibur, that's good. I think that's really important because you have like a lot of these like deals that are sometimes closed just, verbally. And the Pesachei Choshen's point is that, well, if that's what's customary, then that's going to fall under Situmta. Yakir told me to add this Tshuvas Arush posted in the WhatsApp group in Klal Yud Beis Simon Gimel, where the Rush also talks about whether Dibur is sufficient for Situmta. The Shoel here thought that it would be, right? Is that right, Yakir? You want to tell us about the back and forth? The Shoel thought that...
I think that's right. The Shoel, it's I think the case we've seen about the giving the kibbutz at the bris, and the Shoel thought Shaul thought there was room to apply Sitimta there, and the Rosh's hesitation is from the fact that there is no Maisa. And then there's, yeah, this other interesting line that Sitimta is somehow an extension of King and Sudar, and therefore must be limited to Maisim.
Well, he says Bimakom Sudar. You might just say that means that it's replacing a Kinyan. This is like Cole's view, right? Almost. Sitimta is just replacing a Maisa Kinyan. So it's got to be a Maisa Kinyan. It's just a different Maisa Kinyan, right? V'osa Maisa she'osan have Bimakom Sudar. It's like a substitute for the Kinyan. Haval Dibor Ba'al Malo. And then he says this line, Afilu inahug minha garuahu v'lo azlinan basre. Which is this taps back into our discussion of Mina Garua. So it's interesting. He wants to say that, what's he trying to say here, right? Is this just like a circumlocution for saying that the halacha is makbid on maisim constituting the kinyan, and therefore it's like a Mina Garua? Is that the idea?
Could this rush and the devotion seem like, it seemed to be like, almost a nail in the coffin in the idea that I've been trying to go with, that this is just, that this could all just be a manifestation of Das, and that has the limits that Rabbi Thalmi Perry has mentioned.
Well, I don't know what you mean by the nail in the coffin. I mean, all it shows is that they hold this view, right? All it shows is that they're in line with Rabbi Thalmi Perry, right?
Yeah, I'm saying, but trying to say that like more people agree with Rabbi Thalmi Perry than maybe others wanted to say that. Like,
is that like a Kiyam in Barova? Is that a Kiyam in Barova on Hadras Mala? Yeah, what is this?
Can we read these two sources? And are they at all consistent with saying that Sitimta is just a manifestation of Das?
Sure.
Why would we?
I think you could read it that way for sure. But I don't think something is proven by reading it that way. Right? All you show is that there are some people lined up behind Cole and Rabbi Chelmi Paris. Right? I mean, that's fine.
But if what Sitimta is just a widespread assumption of Das, the fact that the discussion of Mistupak and the fact that the Rush think there needs to be a Maisa, like, why would that be? How could Sitimta be a manifestation of Das if we're saying that Dibur doesn't work? Isn't Dibur perfectly acceptable?
I think it's like it's Aleph days in learning halacha, that like Dibur is mere speech is, you know, except in a few cases, not performative, that you need.
Mina Garua is that, like, you know, you want something more concrete to evidence or constitute transfers, right? It's like, it's bad commercial practice to let things be so reified. Something like that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Isn't Mina Garua referring to the Rabbeinu Tam that he quotes elsewhere, which is that, like, the Rabbeinu Tam's view
about
Pasha.
Yeah.
And so it's not about, like, it's bad commercial practice. It's saying that there are some nagim that go beyond the pale for a reason. Okay, so when Rabbeinu Tam wrote it, might have been for the Rosh's reason of privacy. And this might be for commercial practice. The point is there are guardrails that exist on Minig, and, you know, which shows that Minig isn't the last word, because otherwise how could there be guardrails?
Yeah. That's what I was getting at when I said it's circumlocution, right? He's appealing to that doctrine of Rabbeinu Tam to say, like, yeah, this is like bad policy, or it's like bad commercial practice, right? To, like, sure. there's a halachic interest in keeping things b'maisa.
Two comments on this. I think that there's the obvious kind of point that even if you're in the camp that that says that Miras Das is everything, it's reductive to think that that's not constrained by some other functioning halachic realities, like a public policy, about what kinyanim should look like, a set of kinyanim. Like, it's not mutually exclusive to hold both of those things true. We can be ome people's das all the time, but still require some element of practical. And then just in a,
that's the response to Adin, right?
Yeah, and just that, I mean, it's, I think, on behalf of Adin's theory for most of today, just, I think he's taking it a little bit too far and saying that this fights against it. And I think just as a textual point, if...
By the way, that's really interesting. I think that's why it's so interesting. I think the Rush appeals to Mina Garua
as a
doctrine, as opposed to, like, saying, like, Cole's thing that, like, this is not a Kenyan, right?
No, it's so obvious, right? Like, if the Rush wasn't in the space of Miras Das or of Minag, like, this is a meaningless sentiment at the end. I feel like, no, Minag Garuahu. Like, just say that, like, Kinyon, there's a complete set of Kinyonim, and this is not it. Like, why are you appealing to Minag Garuahu? Why are you taking it out of this?
Right, like, he doesn't say this is, like, not a Kinyon. Right or something.
Right, because it fits perfectly in our description of how things usually work. It's just taking it a little bit too far. So we have this concept of Minagura that says public policy.
No. The Mindic is right. This phrase Minaguruahu is Minhug speak for, like, you know, this doesn't, this is out of, you know.
Right, that's what I'm not sure about. That's what I'm not sure about. I'm not sure if the Minagarua here is trying to say, like, trying to resist Cole's point, or whether, like, it's consistent with Cole's point that, like, it's Minagarua because it's inconsistent with the halacha's conception of Kenyan. That's choice A.
Why else would it be Minagarua?
As opposed to, like...
Because it's a bad public policy.
Exactly.
The same reason Luther's adopna is a Minagarua. Or
Itamar doesn't... Okay, first of all, Itamar doesn't believe that. And secondly...
I don't believe what?
Itamar, you don't believe that what Shua just said about it being bad public policy is the reason for the Minagarua.
I don't rule it out.
What?
I wouldn't rule it out.
Really? I mean, that's a direct quote from Rabbeinu... The Rabbeinu Tam's problem, okay, which is, I think, is, like, clarified by the Rashba, is that there's a range over which the halacha gives, you know, flesh and blood human beings control over their legal destinies.
I don't know. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam just liked there being some dividing mechitza between the properties, right? That's, like, important.
You just expressing a preference?
No, it's not a preference. It's a religiously and halachically sourced public policy opinion, right? It's like, yeah, ma tovu halacha Yaakov. So even if all you guys think that this is a great way to live, let me tell you, it's not. And so we're not going to let you sell your organs, and we're not going to let you not.
Right. Let me set it up a little differently, right? So the question
is...
It may
depend on whether it's Minagarua or Minagarua.
100%. I'm the person who brought up the Piskei Tshuva last time. Like, I think that there's a couple of things functioning here, right? Like, Minhag Tos by Chometz is not the same thing as necessarily as Minhag Tos here. I'm just saying that it's, I think, a very viable read. Like, I don't think that is, I don't think that we need to pigeonhole the Rush here into saying that this is, like, outside of the realm of our ability.
Right. To get lumdish about it, it sounds like the debate is whether, is this statement like a din in Situmta or like a din in, like, Minhag? Like, the Kol reading would be like, this Situmta doesn't have the magical power to be different from Kinyanim. It could add a new Kinyan, but it can't be different from Kinyanim. And I think, Shua's read is that, like, yes, it can. Situmta could do a lot of things, but it's a Minagarua and we don't want it to because bad public policy or, right, it's for to allow it to violate these halachic interests. Whatever. There. No, Shua, you don't agree with that formulation?
I mean, I think that, like, I don't think that there's as much conflict between the two things that you just said.
Yeah, I guess I agree with what Shua just said. The Rush isn't on my side anyway for this sort of thing, but because he thinks he can do anything. Although, actually, interestingly, I just noticed that. Why is the Rush willing to? So the Rush is one of the people that says Erer Machne Davar Shebo Olam can be fixed with Minug, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't. But it's a Minug Garua to use Dibor.
So doesn't that speak to Shua's point?
That's what I was saying before, wasn't it?
It speaks to the inconsistency, possibly to the inconsistency of the rush.
One's the rush of Germany, and one's the rush of Spain.
Why would we choose that?
Because it's the simple explanation.
No, it's like, you should know from Quine, right? You modify things at the edges before you modify things in the center. Let's give Zolti the word here, and then I want to move on. But it looks like Evan was machaving to one of those distinctions, because it looked like he was getting like a chest pump from Zakaria there.
It's Evan?
Evan's next.
Oh, yeah. So I was, me and Zakaria just said, immediately turned to each other. I was like, oh, maybe there's a bit between Minhug Shus and Minhug Garua. That sort of Minhug Garua is what Shua is saying, which is like bad public policy. Whereas Minhug Shus or Minhug Taos is like, you know, this is Neged Torah if you guys are like not following Matovu. It's like a slight difference between the two. And so then he's like,
yeah. Zolt, we're going to give you the last word on this discussion, then I want to get into the Deraisa Drabanan, which is also really important. Go for it, Zolt.
Well, to go back to, I think, a Dean's point with you trying to, I guess, pigeonhole the rush into, like, a Das Svara, I think your response would be that even if the rush, I mean, depending on what stance like you take in this Cole versus Shua debate, I think even if the rush holds that... The rush makes more sense to think that he actually thinks that Minhug works as like a legal binding, nothing to do with Das. But nonetheless, Das is going to be a limiting criteria to when you can use, you know, this type of kin. And then it could be that like there could be a certain Minhug to do something, to use a certain, this new form of Kinyon called, you know, Minhug Kinyon. But nonetheless, if we don't think you have enough Das while doing it, then it won't work.
Yeah, so there'll be like some subjective component.
Right. That I mean, Minhug is always, Das is always going to be a limiting factor, irrespective of whether or not the Kinyon is based on Das or not.
Yeah, quite possible.
I think that could be what he's appealing to. I mean, whether or not Minhug Garua therefore implies that it shouldn't work or does work, that's a different question.
Yeah, interesting. Let's move forward in this Deraisa Drabanan discussion. So we have... the Nasivis here. I think this Deraisa Drabanan thing is really philosophically important, because even if you so Cole, I think, will be happy to concede that you could be a Marshal Rush first Chuva Rush guy and run with like Minigas Sochrem. It has all these commercial powers, but like if you say it's just Drabanan, then it totally attenuates the chiddush of Situmta having these magical powers. So I think it's like the like in what universe Situmta is doing substantive work really matters for the kind of deeper question of like halacha yielding to these, incorporating these minhagim and commercial practices. I do want to bracket that with one qualification, because even if it's all drabanan, the fact that the halacha is going to let you do these things at a commercial level still is important. But so that's important in and of itself. It's even more significant, though, if it cuts to the Doraisa level. So I just want to look at a few makoros here.
Between, I've never been clear, like when somebody says something is a Kinyan Darabanan or a Kinyan Doraisa, like I could see how it would have nafkamina for Kiddushin,
yeah,
within the commercial world. Does that just mean like, is it a method, or are we, you know, learning it out from something that uncontroversially,
yeah,
is in Pasuk or something? Like, are there any nafkamina? Like, is it Gazela or Gneva worse? I can't imagine.
Right. So there's a few things to say about this. Obviously, it's way beyond our discussion here. But my view is that, like, the early... like, the Gonim didn't really care so much about these Doraisa Drabanan distinctions. I think Dr. Grach once told us, maybe Shua, I don't know, maybe in... you were there for this, that like the Rambam was the first to really care about like the, like what's a mitzvah Doraisa and what's a mitzvah Drabanan. But like you see like some Gonim like talk about Lo Sasur as kind of just like there is no distinction, then it means that the interpretations... Ooh, we lost Donnie here. Let me just make sure Donnie's back here. Hey, Donnie. Looks like you jumped out for a second there. Welcome back. Oh, he's not connected. Hey, Donnie. Welcome back. So I think there's that going in here. And I wish even in our sugya, the Mefarshim were a little more explicit about distinguishing between whether this kinyan has force at a doraisa level versus the question of the origin of the kinyan being rabbinic, right? But taking for granted that it's going to have force on a doraisa level. So we'll see. Let's look at a few formulations, and I hope that'll become clear in a second. Ooh, and we could all say hi to Uri. Hi, Uri. All right. So the Nesivos here in Siman Reish Aleph kind of just plops down that this is a Kinyan Drabanan. He says, V'din Situmta hu rak Kinyan Drabanan. Now, he doesn't really cite any evidence for this. I assume he's motivated by the, you know, quasi-Kolian ideas. Is that how you say it, Cole? That just like discomfort with, you know, adding to the set.
Did you say Kolian?
Yeah, Kolian.
Aaronsonian.
Yeah, so for Aaronsonian, I like that. For Aaronsonian reasons, like, you know, there's this discomfort with like tinkering with the way the Torah set up the system. And then he says, Deha kinyan drabanan vaday lo gara miminag shenoagu bo sochrim. That's a really strange phrase. What he's saying here, I think, is when he refers to a minag shenoagu bo sochrim, he's referring to like a maimat shlashdan, which is a way of transferring chovos in the presence of three people. And he, so he says, Situmta is a kinyan drabanan. And a kinyan drabanan can't be worse than maimat shlashdan, which is a minag shenoagu bo sochrim. And a Maimed Shlashan is only viewed as a Kinyan Drabanan with respect to Kiddushin, Kimavur B'poskim. Am I misreading that, Shua? Is that why you're shaking your head?
Is this the whole Beis Shmuel that you quoted here?
Yeah, this is the whole Beis Shmuel on Simon Chafras. Now, it's kind of weird because the Beis Shmuel quotes a machlokes a poskim about whether, this comes from the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Chaf Ches, two deos, if you have a chov biyad acherim, and you want to use that chov to Mekadesh and Isha, you say, Harei Mekadesh li b'chov sheyesh li biyad zeh, b'maymed shlashtan. So two deos, harei ze mekadeshes v'yesham m'she'ena mekadeshes. Right, so two deos. And the Beis Shmuel says, it depends on this machlokas between Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Beis Yosef. Rabbeinu Yerucham says it's a Kiddushin Drabanan because Maimed Shlashtan is Drabanan. And the Beis Yosef says, very important line, Vihi Mekudeshes Midoraisa Ki Machmas Takanos Chazal Mimo Shelohu Vihi Mekudeshes Midoraisa. That you have to distinguish between the Dinei Mamonos plane. So it's like, the Chazal are able to resolve like who owns what questions through Kinyanim Drabanan. Once it's resolved who owns what, then like the question of what you own could be settled at the Drabanan level. And then once we know who owns what, we're going to move forward on the Doraisa level. Right? So that makes a lot of sense. That's the Beis Yosef's view. The Rabbeinu Yerucham here seems to think that if the Kinyan is just a Kinyan Drabanan, then the Kiddushin is going to be a Kiddushin Drabanan. Beis Yosef has a better formulation of Kasar Ben Yerucham D'Laman Damar Mekudashas Hainami Drabanan Kivan D'Maimad Shlashan Takanta Drabanan Hi V'Eina Muchrach D'Aikal Amemar D'Kivan D'Tikina Rabanan Niknu La Hamos V'Kivan Shen Niknu La Havalak Ilu Nasan La Kesef Havam Mekudashas D'Oraisa. Fine, this is like a kind of an interesting debate about the power of Kinyanim Drabanan. I don't want to get into that. I think just what's interesting for our purposes right now is that the Nesivos wants to say that Situmta is just a Kinyan Drabanan, and therefore he entertains the idea that if you bought something with a Kinyan Situmta, it may not work to affect a Kiddushin D'Oraisa. Right? Now that's...
That's...
Go for it, Yakir.
He's entertaining the idea that if you use Situmta to transfer the item to the woman, then that might not work for application to Risa. That's different from if you bought something with Sitempta.
Okay, so let's say that again. So you're saying Vidin Sitempta Banan.
The case in Mai Mishlashan is not that you bought something using Mai Mishlashan and then are giving it to the woman. You are actually using Mai Mishlashan instead of handing her the ring. I mean, you need that Maisa, Mai Mishlashan, to be your Maisa Kiddushin.
Yeah, and just
what? You can't do Kiddushin with a handshake or a Mazel Bracha.
Right. That doesn't count as a Maisa Kiddushin, is what the Nisivas is saying.
Got it.
Yeah, and I think it's like trivially true because, like you said, Itamar, the Beis Yosef's point is like it kind of has to be right that the Chachamim decide what ownership, and you don't have to keep a yichus of like which money I was kona bikinin derabbanan and which money I was kona bikinin deoraisa that I'm now going to give to someone to be mikadesh them. Clearly, the difference between a Rabbi Yerucham and the Beis Yosef is how much the Maisa Kinyan matters, the specific Maisa Kiddushin. Needs to fall within a set of Maisa Kinyan, like Kinyan that are described by the Torah. The Beis Yosef says it's only a question of like, did she, the money come to her hand? And the Rabbi Yerucham's like, no, formally it needs to be done. And that's the shop Kiddushin by,
right. Yeah, agreed. Totally agreed. So the question here is, you're saying everybody would agree in my case, let's see.
Like to take it to an
Yes. So like you're all saying that if I purchase the wedding ring, you know, on the internet and you know I click one of those buttons that says it's now mine, then or however those things work, then everybody would agree if I give that ring to my wife, that would be a good kiddushin. The only issue is if like I say Hariyat Mekudeshesli and then I do like a Zelle payment or something, right, to her. That's like that's the interesting question, right?
If I acquire something via Situmta, if I acquire a laptop via Situmta, then you break it. Like it seems clear that you have a Del Reisa obligation to pay me back, like to pay me Nezek for it, right?
And you're saying nobody would entertain the possibility that even on the commercial level, like the Gazela there is only Drabanan? You're saying even if you're
that seems...
I'm not sure about that. Look at this formulate. I need to think about this a little more, actually. If you look at this no de Behuda in his chuvos, look at this formulation.
Where are you guys getting that? Like, I agree with the context here, clearly, about the Kenyan Kiddushin being Bama Shoshan or Sitimta, but where do you guys know that if you're Kona something Bama Shoshan or Sitimta, that if you're then do Kiddushin with that object, that it's definitely the works to write? Where do you guys know that?
Right. Look at this Noda Behuda. Zolti, isn't this Noda Behuda taking a stance on the way he formulates the issue? He says, Ein ze dome le mekadesh bekesef shekana b'mayim adshlashtan v'chadome b'kinyin drabanan shekasef habe shmuel dahave kiddushay Torah d'kinyin momon shayni v'hefker bezin hefker v'kivan shekvar kona hamaos shuv shapir mo'ilin hakiddushin achar kach afilu min haTorah. Sounds like he understands the issue to be, you know, the husband acquiring it through Situmta. Let me see.
Yeah, is he saying that, the conclusion is the same, like, yes, when you break my Situmta acquired laptop, you have a Del Reisa obligation, but only because Hefker Beis and Hefker exists.
Right.
If it wasn't Hefker Beis and Hefker, then I only own the object on a Derabanan level.
Right.
So you're right.
I don't know. You know, this is a little. I hate these questions. You know, they always. I feel like I'm studying for the LSAT or something. No, actually not. Then they would be clear, logical questions. There are too many variables at play sometimes in these Darabon and Doraisa questions. I'm with Yoni that there might be a view out there that says even the gezela on something that you're a kona b'situmta might be only a gezela d'oraisa. I don't like that view, but it's it might be...
Drabanan, you mean?
Would only be gezela drabanan, correct. I think I want to bracket those more complicated questions.
It wouldn't you go to test that, though, like to see if that person would be able to testify in court or something like that? I mean, it's not the case, right? We don't say that the gauze and drabanan is able to, and somebody who's, you know, you look into the yichas type chain title.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, like I get your like lo reinu eino raya, but like first of all, we would see this somewhere. Second of all, it's maharis the entire like socioeconomic, like societal reality. Like it just doesn't make any sense. There's no way to.
It's preposterous to say that like just because a thing was transferred by a kinyan derabanan that there's like a whole, you know, sub-legal system that governs.
So I agree with that. I'm totally sympathetic to you. And I like, that's why I like the view that says, of course, like there is a system to resolve all these socioeconomic questions and the system puts those indeterminacies to rest, right? It puts them to rest with finality. Like we don't have to keep track of what mammon is yours, minatorah, and what mammon is yours, midrabanan. I'm totally sympathetic to that. But you could see like a Chazanish guy like saying like, no, like what matters is like the mode. There are different modes of owning things in the Torah's conception of ownership.
Not that he wouldn't say that.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Nobody says it.
Isn't that what the Noda Behuda is saying? Short, like, but Baruch Hashem, we have Hefker based in Hefker, which operates on a Doraisa level. But like, I think he draws
credit. Show me the plastic for Hefker based in Hefker, but also.
I think that's clearly the assumption he's operating with.
It seems like
he would say.
Second
half
Gittin,
so you
could just look that up.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Avos, being Manchil.
Isn't the point of Hefker and Hefker that monetary is not absolute and ritual, but they're something different? That's the point of Hefker. They're used in Kolder Shon Khan, Hefker and Hefker. You know, volume-wise, they're all used kind of interchangeably. The point is, monetary rights are not hope. That's the point.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you that it's like this kind of like monetary issues, economic issues are conventional, and like they could be resolved by these conventional institutions. I like that. I'm just saying. I think that you're gonna find people who are gonna say that that's not true. Like monetary issues in the Torah are just like Choshen and Mishpat rules are exactly the same as rules of Kachim and Taros were like, yeah, they're just like objective formal Torah dinim about the modality of your ownership.
Maybe like Rav Chaim Kanievsky would say that.
All right, there you go. That's, you know.
So there are stray views, but they're stray views. They're not the same of everyone.
Where are the stray views?
I want to.
Like, I'd love to see this stray view.
I'm gonna dig them up over Yantif. I'll dig them up.
I'm excited.
Itamar is gonna invent a
You don't need to invent, I guarantee. I want to flush out this issue a little more, actually, and I think this might help.
You can get a rabbi to say it.
Well, I want to motivate this issue a little more. So remember, the Nesiva says it's drabanan. The Chassam Sofer, I think, is really the champion, in my view, of this kind of mitnik, you know, shua point, kol point. That of course, like, even at the Doraisa level, like you don't even need Hefker Bezdin Hefker to like settle the economic ownership questions so that we can move forward on like Dine Mominis. But even at the Doraisa level, like just straight up, like this kind of institutional conception of ownership exists. And the Chassam Sofer says this very strongly in two tshuvos. He says, Lefianias Daiti Situmta Hukinyan Doraisa Mamish. Mamish being the crucial word there. It's not just Kinyan D'Oraisa, it's Kinyan D'Oraisa Mamish. And look what he says. It's an interesting methodological debate. He says, V'heichan matzinu shenimnu rabbanan al-kacha, v'amru shetiknu sheminag sochrim kona. Like, you don't find in the Gemara that it's, like, phrased as a takana. Al-Rava hodianu b'bav mitziah indalid shahadin kein min ha-Torah. I don't know where he gets that. Rava's modia that is a dim in a Torah. Kol shen higu asochrim havale ki'ilu hisnu v'chol tanai shebimamon kayim in a Torah. It's just this Joraisa rule that gives us carte blanche, you know, flexibility and discretion to do economic things in the way we want to do them. And this is really interesting. He actually distinguishes between kinyonim that are made up midrabana on the maimed shlashtan question and kinyanim that evolve through, like, minag ha-sochrim. I don't think the Chazanish had to go here. I think it was a mistake for him to go here. Sorry, not the
Chacham. You have to say it, though. I remember Superman asked this question, like, once people follow Yom Darbon, doesn't that automatically make them a Kinyan D'oraisa through a minute? And so you have to say some you know, you peek behind the curtain that they're, like, you know, in duress, they're following the Kinyan D'oraisa, even if now we kind of follow the volitional.
It's interesting. I think the Chacham Sofer might... The question is, would the Chacham Sofer concede the point if a Kinyan D'rabbanan becomes so customary? Right? So my intuition is that the Chacham Sofer would concede that if a Kinyan D'rabbanan becomes just a widespread minhag, it now could have force and virtue of minhag, and you don't have to rely on the takana aspect of it. Let me just flesh this out. Says lo dami le kinyane drabanan hasam lo machlu bekacha socher mirtzonam ela anusim betakanos chachamim umitam hefker bezdin. I want to emphasize that this shows that he thinks that the minhag socher is not mitam hefker bezdin, right? So it's not like the Beis Yosef who has to inject that extra step of the fiat of hefker bezdin hefker puts to rest. It's like a hataras nedarim of like all outstanding monetary uncertainties. Minhag HaSochem is much more fundamental than that. It's a din d'oraisa that doesn't require that further step of like the institutions to put it to rest. B'zeh yesh lomar ein koach b'yad bezen el lahafkiyav lo lahaknos. So he says, mitam hefker bezen hefker, you might say, just mafkiya, can't be makne. Aval mashehen higu mirtzonam hatov kol tanai shev mamon kayim min haTorah b'li safek. And he appeals to this tshuva of the Rashba. It's not so clear the Rashba says this, that this in when it comes to a bechor, so if you own an animal that gives birth to a bechor, so you have all these dine bechor that kick in, but if it's owned by a non-Jew, then the dine bechor don't go in, don't kick in. So he says that he thinks the Rashba thinks in this tshuva, that's miuchas to the Ramban, that if you sell a bechor to the Gentile with a kinyan situmta, that would be mafkia the animal mikdushas bechor. So a situmta transfer of a bechor mirshus Yisrael or shus Akum will succeed to be mafkia kedushasa. And he thinks that's a raya, that Situmta itself has to have the modal, like the force of a D'oraisa Kenyan. Because Midoraisa is Mafkiya the Kedushas HaBechor. Amnam Reisi Lagon Ben Asivus HaMishpat, Tepshitle de Situmta Lahav Lekenyan Rabbanan, Deladif Miknan Rabbanan, Chasar Chasavti, Delo Dami Lahadadi. And so the Chacham Sofer thinks that the Nasivus is wrong. There's another, that was the tshuva in Yerideya Shinya Dalid. He has another tshuva in Choshe Mishpat Yud Beis, where he gets into the same analysis, and he says, when it comes to Situmta, Biarti b'makom acher, Shelfin yazdaiti hu d'oraisa mamish, ve'adif mikinyonim shetiknu rabbanan, shelo baratzon asochrim, ve'rak mitam hefker bazen hefker nagube, that's those drabbanan kinyonim, aval Situmta u'minag shenisratu v'nagu kemeasman bertonam, hu kinyin d'oraisa lefin yazdaiti, le'inyan chametz uvechor v'kidushe isha lefin yazdaiti. So the Chacham Sofer goes all in for Situmta D'oraisa, and he thinks that it would work across all of these kinds of cases. I want to point out, just to get the dialectic out very quickly, the Maram Mintz in this tshuva in Simen Hay seems to disagree with this Chazon Ish. He says, if you were to transfer the Bechor through a Kenyan Situmta to a non-Jew, he thinks it wouldn't be Mafkiya Kedushasa. He says, he talks about this case of where you transferred an animal through this like handshake. And he says, even though we say Hai Situmta Kanya Ba'asra Dinahigila Mikni Mamish, he says it's inapplicable here, Halesa, because Hamina Glo Matzi Lahafkiya Kedushas Bechor D'oraisa. And he says, "Va'afilu em timsi lomar deminag shenau chachamim oker d'oraisa kigon situmta, dekivan demokmin and chachamim bershus halokeach dehefker bazen hefker, memela have a kniya lechol mili, mikomakom hay kniya dinoagu hatagarim goyim eno moa lahafkiya kedushas bechor." Very tricky distinction that he's trying to draw here. But at least in his first view, he seems to have the position that, like the Maimed Shlashdan and Kedushin example, transferring a Bechor through Situmta would not work to be Mafgiya Kedushasa. What do you think of that? You have thoughts on... And clearly that's diametrically opposed to the Chassam Sofer. What do you think of this view of the... of the Mara Mintz?
I think it's pretty convincing. And it's like, I don't know, like, maybe this is just a too simple of a concern, but like, what was going through my head and as we were reading through the Chassam Sofer is like, what's the pasuk or like even what's the limud, like, to say that this, like, other than just like assuming that the Torah sets up Dinei Mamonos in such a way that's convention, like in a conventional way and things like that with the practices of society, but even more than that, let's lost my train of thought for a second. It's rather conventional. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I forgot what the second thing I was going to say was, so I'll leave it at that.
Right, the Chassam Sofer doesn't bring a raya that it's Daraisa. He just says, like, the burden of proof is kind of like a Kol methodology thing. The burden of proof is on the Nesivis to show that it's actually a Takana Drabanan, right?
I remember the second thing I was going to say with that.
I think the Chassam Sofer goes all in with the notion that this is a Kenyan Doraisa. The Torah gives you this full flexibility when it comes to Dinei Mamonos. The view of these Achronim is interesting in that they want to say there's this social divide, or there's this important division between the monetary transactions for the purpose of doing business and monetary transactions for the purpose of, like, ritual. So it's like the halachas somehow is totally okay with the Dinei Mamonos stuff on its own being resolved according to Situmta and Hefker Bez and Hefker of Chule. But for whatever reason, there's a hard line that's not going to spill over into, like, Kedushas Bechor and Kedushin. I think not the Chazon Ish himself, but that view that I'm attributing to that school is going to say something. Well, why should there be a difference, Doraisa, between Kedushas Bechor and what you own? Right? When we think about what you own, we could ask, what do you own, Midrabanan, and what do you own, Midaraisa? But you'd have to do the similar question. Zolt, do you have a quick hand, or even if it's a long hand?
Yeah, I don't fully... Is he suggesting that there's a difference between Situmta, which is a Kenyan, like, which is the Chachamim created, as opposed to Minhag, which is, like, its own separate thing, and Minhag can't be Mefkia Kedushin Bechor, but Situmta could, in theory?
In the Im Timtzi Lomar part?
Yeah, is that what he's suggesting, that Situmta could work?
Yeah, sounds like he's saying... Sounds like he's saying, like, even if Situmta would work...
For what? For what?
For being Mafkia Kedushas Bechor.
For Kedushas Bechor, right. So then he thinks there's this middle ground between Minhag and, I guess, Kenyan Doraita, which are Situmta. Situmta is, like, a specific form of a Kenyan Durbanon that was created by Chachamim, exactly like what the Chachamim Sofer thinks didn't happen.
Yeah,
which is... It must be too at 12:33, but it could even be a difference between Situmta and Minhag Kayim.
I mean, like, what's going on in the Hamish communities and what's going on by the Fry? The
difference between, like, Minhagim that we accept because we're doing commerce with Tigarim Kayim and Minhagim that are born out of some more Jewish...
Yeah, this cuts back to that Chazon Ish and the Tshuvas HaRashba. Right, that there's, you know, if it's like the Minhag Tagari Agayim, then it's not going to have sanction in the halacha. But if it's, you know, whatever is commercially normal within Jewish society, that's going to have the imprimatur of the halacha. Yeah, interesting. I think we should, I think we should think a little bit more about this Doraisa Drabanan question. I'm going to dig up the view that's going to defend Situmta being Drabanan, even on pure Dinei Mamonos issues. let's just, you know, spend.
I mean, I didn't have those issues. There ain't enough Kamina for being Darabont on. Like, who cares? We didn't have those issues.
Right.
That was our point.
Right.
Like, there better be no Nuff. By the way, I will say.
Well, you know, is there a Gezel Midoraisa? Is there an Israel Ahazik Midoraisa? All those things.
I won't have a Nuff Kamina. That'll be the same either way tomorrow.
Do you have to give Meiser on it, Midoraisa?
It's still left there to steal, whether it's the Reiter or the Rabbana.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, isn't it also like, can you be Mekadosh Nisha with money that you acquired in a Darabanan way?
Yeah, do you violate, if you own Chametz Midrabanan, do you violate Chametz Midoraisa or Midrabanan?
I think we need a wager, because I legitimately think you'll find no money.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll be even more pusillatus than I am. I'm actually not pusillatus, it turns out.
All right. Good. So let's stop here. Maybe let's spend, 10 minutes in our next Chabura wrapping up this Deoraisa Drabanan question. And then we move on to Darshin and Lashon Hedyot. And I want to talk a little bit about Rashay and Bnei Ha'ir, Lahasnos and Lasial Kitzasan. A lot of really interesting stuff there.
Are we running through Bin Azma? What's the deal?
I think we should try to do, it depends what the Olam wants, but I think we should try to do maybe one Chabura a week during Bin Azmanim, or are people busy with stuff?
Fall Moed is going to be harder than between now and Sukkot. Between now and Sukkot is fine with me.
Can we switch times, though? Because I feel like Bin Azmanim, middle of the day is not a great time.
Yeah, I'm open to do an evening or a morning or, I don't know. I'll try to figure out how to
get the Holomoid trips, Yoni.
Where are people going?
Well, I just have stuff in my family. Yeah, I don't know what we're doing exactly, but I don't want to portion the
you're
whole
gonna be busy sitting.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
On lawn chairs, talking to other people in their front lawns on lawn chairs.
I saw
outdoor things to do. I don't know. There are things to do.
Yeah, I'll share.
We're
Shua
not all
will,
in lockdown in Israel. We're not all in lockdown. Some of us in New York State have a little more freedom.
I'll send out something about trying to meet once a week during Bin Azmanim. I think it'll be good just to cover some more ground. All right, Gmar Chasima Tova, everyone.
I have a request for Bin Azmanim that Mitnick take pictures of himself with his dog in diminished leave.